This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody. Sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
This is Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Anecto.
Hello, this is Jody. How you going? Thanks for joining us for the next hour on Absolutely Everybody. What have we got on today's show? We've got the Melbourne International Comedy Festival upon us again, and it's been a successful season so far with some sterling local and international acts gracing Melbourne's theatres. Up with the best, we're delighted to have journalist and comedian Stella Young on the show to bring us up to speed with how her new show Tales from the Crypt is going. Have you been out and about to see any shows? SMS us on 1300 Joy 940 or email onair at joy.org.au and tell us what you've been to see. I'm also very excited to have some wonderful co-hosts with me today, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But first, it's Evermore with Hero. The time is 5 minutes past midday and you're on Joy 94.9.
It's about you. It's about me. It's about inclusion. Absolutely everybody on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. It's Jody here. You're listening to Absolutely Everybody, and the time is 9 minutes past midday. Now, my special guest host today, I'm very excited, is Kurt and Stephanie. Welcome, guys.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Hi, Jody. Hey. Yeah, lovely to be here.
Yeah.
It's so, a bit different during daytime radio.
Yeah, you've got to put your sunglasses on, don't you? You don't come out into the night normally.
Yeah.
So a bit of history with Kurt and Stephanie, who were basically there from the inception of Absolutely Everybody. So we've been finding our feet over the last few months. So, yeah, they'll be visiting us from time to time to say hello. Kurt has just started a new show on
Joy. That's right,
yep. Transpositions, which is very exciting.
It's going exciting. Well. It's going really well. We've had two shows so far.
Yeah.
It's on Tuesdays, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
So tune in, and our third show is going to be great because we've got a guy called Nate Reed coming on who's a doctor, mm-hmm. and he's also a trans man.
Great.
So it'll be interesting to talk to him.
So we're going to talk to you a little bit more at length later in the show,
yes.
about it.
Yep.
And Steph, of course, is still part of the Is Nothing Sacred team on Monday nights.
Yes, Monday nights at 10 o'clock. We're into our third grid now, so we're very, very excited to be sticking around because the group from Is Nothing Sacred was a bunch of recruits from the Taste of Radio course last year. So to be honest, we're pretty excited to be fresh out of the course and still be on air a year later and had some really great conversations and great guests. But yes, I am. It is quite a different experience being in the Joy studios during the day. All this sunlight coming in, I do feel like I should be wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's windows. You can see the city outside.
Yeah, it's a lot different, I can tell you. I have to say I love listening to Is Nothing Sacred. I sit back and listen to the banter that goes on.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it gets quite funny and other times it's quite intense. So I know I listened to an episode when I was in Sydney and I live streamed it, which was very exciting. So, yeah, it's all good. So, and we've got we're in the midst of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, as I mentioned, which is a great opportunity for people to get out and about in Melbourne. There has been so much going on in Melbourne since the beginning of the year. I feel exhausted already.
Yeah, it's pretty much back-to-back festivals. That's one thing I love about Melbourne. And I was a little bit worried that there was going to be a festival lull, but yeah. then I realised that, you know, there's the International Comedy Festival, then we have the New Wave Festival, and then by the time that ends, there's the Human Rights and Arts Film Festival. So,
oh my God.
That's okay. We've got ourselves yeah. covered until June, and I won't panic.
Actually, no, there's more than that, because there's the Melbourne Jazz Festival.
Oh, yeah.
More music, and I'm sure there's other ones as well. And you've got some other stuff coming up, which you'll tell us about later as well.
Yeah, queer events coming up.
Yeah. So it's just there's something for everyone, and of course Absolutely Everybody is about sharing common interests, so we love talking about what you can get out and about to do. So before that, we've got coming up next Stella Young to talk more about her show.
It's all about you, me and inclusion. Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
And the time is 16 minutes past midday. You're with Jody, Kurt and Stephanie on Absolutely Everybody today. And we are about to interview Stella Young, re the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. So the festival, again, features a wonderful mix of local and international acts. Stella Young's show, Take Tales from the Crypt. God, I've got a bit of
jet lag.
Jet lag, yes. That's right, Kurt. Stella's show, Tales from the Crypt, has been a sellout with the show finishing up this weekend. Stella Young, welcome to Absolutely Everybody.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm very well, well.
That's good. That's good. I've got verbal something this morning, so you'll have to forgive me.
Oh, that's all right. We'll get through.
So you must be exhausted. The show you're presenting is at the Darabin Arts Speakeasy, and it's presented by them, but you're performing at the Northcote Town Hall to sell out crowds. How's it been going?
Yeah, everything's great. It's been really good. I've gotten really solid crowds. I'm sold out again tonight, so the only tickets left are the Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Brilliant. I've had a great, great run.
Well, I know that Amy, who's one of our regular presenters who's not in today, is actually going. I think she's going tomorrow night, so
excellent.
I'll have to hear all about it from her. So the show's directed by Nellie Thomas, but it's your material. So how does that work when it's your baby and you're working with a director? Do they shape it, or, you know, how does that process work?
Yeah, well, Nellie's, you know, she's done 12 festivals. She's a very skilled, very experienced comedian, and she just kind of helped me, because crafting an hour of comedy is quite different from your 10, 15-minute set that you normally do on the stand-up circuit in Melbourne. So it was really great to have her to help me kind of craft the show into something with a bit of a structure that sort of makes sense and builds in, you know, you have to have your light and shade.
Yeah.
So she's really great at giving me that kind of advice. And she's just been really amazingly supportive through the whole festival, like coming to almost every show and just being generally rad, really.
Because it would be really quite difficult, I would imagine, you know, doing a one-woman show and standing back and not having that support.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that festival is kind of quite a lonely time for lots of comedians. So it's been really good for Nellie and I to have each other. Like, she goes to my shows and I go to her shows. And it's been really great. So I've loved working with her. It's been my favourite part.
Oh, great. And so what can people expect from the show? What have been some of the crowd reactions so far?
I think the crowds are really liking it. I don't think anyone is particularly kind of surprised, because I'm known for not being particularly politically correct or cautious about disability language or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, part of my show is really all about challenging the ways in which we treat disabled people as a society, and how, you know, how politically correct we've become with the, you know, intent of not offending anyone. And what we're actually doing is just making things worse, making things more difficult for ourselves by being more precious about it.
Yeah. And I think that transcends a lot of different groups. Possibly. Kurt and I were talking about that before, weren't we, Kurt, about people's perceptions of what the norm is and what isn't. Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. I had a bit of a double take. The Sydney Morning Herald reviewed the show with the words "nervous laughs." What exactly does that mean?
Oh,
is that a compliment?
I think they were just kind of talking. This was before my show opened.
Okay.
And I think they were just kind of talking about the fact that, you know, talking about disability makes people nervous. Talking about, because people think that there are rules about what we can say and what we can't, and, you know, people get very kind of precious about it. But I don't think my show does make people nervous. I certainly get nervous as a performer, but not about my material so much as just being able to remember it and perform well and you know, lift an audience that might not be so into it. Like, it's really, it's not easy. Like, it's not like, you can sit up there and have a bit of a gap for an hour. Like,
it'd be hard. I'm in awe of people that can get up and do comedy at the best of times. I'm just wondering, the crowds, do you think you're getting people who have had no exposure to this, the disability, these conversations around disability?
Yeah,
Is it new to many people, or are you attracting people that are familiar with your work, or what sort of people are coming to the shows?
I think both. Like, I think that there are people who are coming because they know that my take on disability is quite, you know, irreverent, and they come for that reason because they like that. But I think that there are also, you know, I've attracted general audiences who are not, you know, aware of my work, and that's been really good as well, because people are coming not knowing what to expect,
yeah,
and actually being kind of surprised by just my take on things.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't really had anybody who has you know, responded badly or said it wasn't funny or anything like that. So that's been really good.
Yeah, I saw a documentary actually around Joan Rivers, and I actually have seen it twice. I don't, you know, it's not that her comedy actually appeals to me, but some things she says are funny, but I just found it really interesting, her life. And there was one scene where somebody heckles her because she says, she makes a joke about a disability. I can't remember what it was. And this person took particular offence to it, and she got quite aggressive. And I just wondered, have you ever been heckled, and how do you handle that sort of situation?
Look, I actually don't get heckled.
Yeah.
Is interesting. Like, I've talked to other disabled comedians, mainly from overseas, about that. And we're not quite sure why we don't get heckled. But it just doesn't seem to be something that people feel comfortable doing, which is really interesting.
Yeah, would you like to be heckled?
Well, I mean, no, not really. I think that also humour is really subjective, and people do get offended by some of the things I say, just as people get offended by some of the things Joan Rivers says.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, where you have to be careful is making jokes about people who aren't in positions of power. So I can make jokes about disability because it's my people.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there are things that I would never say because I'm not part of that particular group.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't make fun of someone with cerebral palsy or, you know, something that is outside of my experience. And I think the thing that we're really learning and talking a lot more about in comedy at the moment is the fact that, you know, the subject of a joke doesn't need to be the target of a joke. There's always lots of conversation about whether or not comedians can make rape jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not one for censorship at all. And I think that, you know, we can make jokes about very controversial subjects like that.
Yeah.
As long as the joke is not on the victim, as long as the joke is on, you know, the perpetrators of rape and not the victims of it.
Isn't it? It's really, that's an interesting subject because, yeah, where do you draw the line, I guess? And you can't really draw the line yet. It's the way, whether the joke's clever or not, I guess, isn't it?
It's how you execute things and how you, how you frame things. I mean, I can probably imagine that Joan Rivers joke probably would have offended a great deal of the disability community. But why shouldn't people be allowed to offend us?
Yeah.
If we're allowed to offend, you know, other people. Interesting time.
It is interesting. On Absolute Everybody, we talk about sharing what we have in common. We focus on what we have in common as people, and I think, do you think comedy is a great way to really knuckle down to what we are, as we're all people, really, when it boils down to it? Yeah,
I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, people leave my show going, disability is not, you know, as simple as I thought it was, and I didn't expect so much of that to reflect my own experience and I think that people walk away just going, that's kind of no big deal at all. We're just all the same. And I think that's probably one of the highlights of performing, is making people realize that.
Yeah. We talk a bit about, we've actually had a few discussions about language on this show, and I know that, you know, as you said about political correctness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've talked, Amy and I actually had this discussion about the word carer, and because she doesn't like the word. And it's tricky with words that relate to something that somebody does, but in fact they may be offensive to other people. So how do you describe something that it's an action or it's a role that somebody has, but in actual fact, it can be patronising, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that with that specific example, a caring thing is really, really loaded. Like, that's a really loaded term.
Mm.
You don't have to care about, you know, caring is an emotion. It's a feeling.
Yeah.
You know, providing physical support to someone is providing physical support to someone. So, you know, in the disability community, there's hopefully starting to be this move towards calling people who work professionally as, you know, people who provide support to people with disabilities, what we have been used to being called carers, as support workers, personal assistants. They're people that we employ in order to assist us with our daily lives.
Yep.
And, you know, they don't have to care.
Yeah. Yeah. They're getting paid.
They like us. But actually, like, caring is not this benevolent thing that people do. And, you know, we want to live in a society where, you know, we talk a lot about unpaid carers as well. Well, we don't want to have unpaid carers. We want our friends and partners and parents and siblings to just be that, to just be those people in our lives. We don't want to have to rely on them for the physical support. So that's why it's important to really, you know, nail the NDIS, make sure that we all have access to the supports that we need, so our families can just be our family.
Yeah, that's a good point. The other thing that you've talked about, and again, we've discussed this on the show, and we want to do more around design and the way society is designed to, it creates barriers for people, which include the LGBTI community, where if you don't fit into the norm, and it's also in architecture, it's everywhere around us. That they're the things that highlight people's disability or their whatever makes them different. So I like what you said about, if you could just expand on that a little bit. You've sort of talked about what is normal. It's society that makes you feel abnormal, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's really just about the social model of disability and that recognition that actually we're far more disabled by the society that we live in, by the environmental barriers that we confront every day, than we are by our actual impairment.
Yeah.
And the social model makes a distinction between impairment and disability. So disability is something that is actually socially constructed.
Mm.
And, you know, in our homes, are we really that disabled? Like where things are set up for us, where things are, where things are all accessible to us, there are some environments in which I have very little disability and other environments in which I have a great deal of disability. So it's just kind of about recognising that we are more disabled by our environments than we are by our bodies.
Yeah.
And even though that's not the full story, that is something that we can tackle and change. We can, you know, we can address that. We can build more ramps. We can provide more resources in Braille. We can make sure that things have closed captioning, that there are online interpreters. All of those things are practical things that we can do to reduce the impact of disability.
Yeah. Now, just quickly, I'm a bit of a fan of Ramp Up. How's that going, and do you think that's broadening, again, the audience of I love some of the discussions that you have, and I think most people can relate to it who've been in that position as well of being, I guess, not, politics, really, unless you're male and a Tony Abbott lookalike, really. We're all on the outside. It's some really good conversations going on. What have you got planned for that?
There's lots of things. There's lots of scopes for discussion in the disability sector, and that's what I love it. Well, that's what I love about it is that the conversations are changing all the time. Like, one minute we're talking about media representation and the role that can play in social change, and the next minute we're talking about, you know, the National Disability Insurance Scheme and funding and all of those kind of things. So it's really, it's great to be able to have a place where we can really flesh out the complexity around disability, because it's not simple. Like, we don't all think the same. We're not all Paralympians. We're not all climbing Mount Everest and being super crisp.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a great deal of diversity within the disability community.
Yeah. And do you find that that comedy, because, you know, you're obviously covering some fairly serious issues as a journalist, does comedy give you that relief?
Yeah, comedy's great. I mean, I've always been pretty irreverent about disability and not taken myself too seriously.
Yeah.
And there are some things that we do have to take seriously. You know, some of the discussions that we have on Roundup are very, very serious. But it's great to be able to discuss, you know, the wider side of things as well and make people see how absurd some of the treatment of disabled people in society is.
Yeah. Now, I have to tell you, Stephanie has... Have you met Stella or...?
Yeah, you probably don't remember Stella, but I think we met about 5 or 6 years ago at the Museum Victoria Christmas party, and I remember you because you and your colleagues were wearing amazing outfits that I was quite jealous of. I think there were lots of sequins. maybe 2009, yeah. I think there was an Australiana theme.
Yeah, it was an Australiana thing, and we went as the cast of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was really, that was such a fun Museum Victoria Christmas party. They are pretty rocking, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Work at the ABC.
It was a very fun party. I was interested actually about your journey from that role working in public programs at Melbourne Museum through to comedy. Were you doing comedy at that time, or how did you transition to that position?
I was doing comedy. I was doing a bit of comedy at that time, but just kind of part-time stand-up kind of stuff. I think I entered Raw while I was still working at the museum and, you know, did a few bits and pieces around the track. Working outside that has kind of allowed me to ramp up the comedy stuff as well. But I love working at the museum. I've got so much great material from conversations I had with kids when I was there.
Yep.
There's a whole part of my show about conversations that I had with kids at the museum, which is really fun. So, yeah, I miss those guys. It's great.
And I'm glad to know... Oh, sorry, Steph, no, she's not there anymore.
It's a pretty great workplace. And, I agree that those conversations with children really make you see the world in a different way, and their honesty can be quite refreshing sometimes.
Totally. Yeah. I love that. I love having conversations with kids.
I was working at ScienceWorks, and my favourite question I got asked was after I'd done a show about the solar system, and I asked, it was a group of grade 4 or 5s, and I said, does anyone have any questions? And one student put up her hand and said, how was the solar system made and why? And I thought, oh, God.
Here we go.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Wow, that's a
good one. I'm glad you both remembered the Christmas party. Clearly, you know.
Yeah. It was a great party, Jodie.
Yes. But, you know, you were obviously bright head and bushy tail the next day.
I went as a eucalyptus tree, which was a costume I was very proud of. It was a bit odd.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So,
as you do. Everyone goes to parties as eucalyptus trees, absolutely. Right? That's a thing, yeah?
Yeah, I've always wanted to do that. Anyway, it's been great having you on the show, Stella, and we've really run over time, but that's okay because we've had a really enjoyable chat with you. So the show's been going from the 26th of March and it's on until the 20th of April. What's after the festival for you?
After festival, I'm going to Sydney to do a TED Talk. So that's exciting as well.
Yeah. We've got Ash Beckham on over the next couple of weeks. Have you?
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
So she's a anyway, Google her, if I'm allowed to say that. So thanks so much. And please, where can people get tickets for the remaining shows, if there's any available?
The Comedy Festival website is the place to get it. So just or the Northcote Town Hall website, darabinart.com.au, I think. And there's... Tonight is sold out, but there's still tickets left for Friday, Saturday and Sunday.
Fantastic. Well, all the best for that, and we'd love to talk to you again some other time.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Stella.
Bye.
It's 25 minutes to 1, and you're on Joy 94.9.
New to Joy in 2014. This is Absolutely Everybody.
Welcome back. The time is 24 minutes to 1. You're with Jodie, Kurt and Steph. And, yeah, we were just talking to Stella Young. It was great. It was really interesting to talk to her for a little while. The interview was, we could have talked all for the whole hour, couldn't we?
Yeah, it was certainly great to have her on the show. Such an intelligent and funny woman. Yeah, I'd be keen to go see her show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love her enthusiasm. It's great.
And the TED Talk will be a great forum.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're at that time of the day. We're mixing things up a little bit today. We're doing Community Notice Board now. So this is the part of the show where we share what's on and offer what's in case you're looking for the opportunities to connect. And, I've got a couple of things, and I think you've got a couple of things, Kurt. So the Melbourne International Comedy Festival obviously is still on, so there's heaps on still to go and check out. The Substation is holding the festival roadshow on the 26th of April at 7:30, so book via thesubstation.org.au. And head on down there. That's an annual event, and that's a really good night. The other thing I'll just say, it's Easter this weekend. So, yeah, lots of chocolate. And I would also encourage you to go to your council, the Melbourne What's On website, because they always have heaps of stuff on it. And it goes with every city, whether it's Sydney or whatever. Go to the websites and check out What's On, because if you're looking for something to do. I also encourage people at this time, you know, during holidays, it can be one of those times where people who are feeling alone can highlight that when, you know, you're spending time, other people are spending time with family and stuff. So always, you know, stay connected with as best you can, and also, you know, get on the line to places like Beyond Blue if you're feeling, you know, a bit down over the Easter holidays.
That's right. And make sure you pop into your neighbour and say hello and just check that everything's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got have you got anything on?
There is something on. Y-Gender's putting on a queer skate day, which I'm looking forward to. And I can see Steph's face light up. It's on Saturday, April 26th at 12 p.m. And everyone's invited. It's an inclusive event, LGBTI inclusive. It's at the YMCA Riverslide Skate Park in Melbourne. And all levels and abilities of skating welcome, which is good because I don't know how to skate, but I would love to learn. And I know there'll be many beginners going, so you don't have to feel like everyone's going to be an expert and you're not. There is skating blades and rollerblades tutorials and free skateboard and safety gear hire, and open skate sessions, skate demos, and local derby leagues will be visiting, and various entertainment, and also a clothes swap, which I'm not really sure what a clothes swap
is.
I
think that's like
you get naked.
Yeah. We can do that.
You could wear some clothes and bring some other clothes.
Yes. Good idea.
Your underwear. Maybe.
And presumably, presumably you don't want to swap clothes with someone who's just been skating around for 3 hours in a sweaty t-shirt.
Well, it's like that one man's, what is it? What's that saying?
Man's trash is another man's treasure.
So you might have a really nice jacket that you're really over.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, somebody else might think, yeah, I want that, and they'll give you something that it's like having a new wardrobe.
Yeah, I could score something way better.
Exactly.
Yeah. But this event's going to work to encourage social inclusion, community visibility, and healthy lifestyles for the LGBTI youth community.
Great.
So it should be good. I'll be there, so make sure you come along.
Yeah, make sure you get down there.
I also have a contribution for the community notice board. The National Safe School Symposium is happening in Melbourne on the 13th of June. So this is an event where there's going to be students, teachers, principals, representatives from government, community sector, parents. If you're any of these people, whether you're in the community or not, it would be great if you could come along. It's all about tackling homophobia and transphobia in schools, and it's a national event. So there's going to be students and principals and teachers from every state and territory in Australia. So if you want to find out more information, you can go to the Foundation for Young Australians website. So it's www.fya.org.au/symposium. Check that out, and you can register your interest, and then you'll get an email for when you can register, and it'll be great, great fun.
That is a good one, and I think that's really good to see the focus on young people at school.
And at the moment, Joy's got more than 250 volunteers, and we are looking at getting some new computers, monitors, and headphones for our volunteer team, because we all work very hard, and it is nice to have nice equipment and good office chairs to sit in, so we're not falling off our chairs. So it'd be great if you could help us make this possible. If you could donate to through the Joy website, or you can call 1300 569 949 to make a donation. It'd just be lovely if you could put $2, $1, whatever you can do just to help us out, so we can keep bringing you awesome shows like Absolutely Everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, community radio is so important. It just really, I think that it's one of those things that, you know, we get to talk about lots of different subjects that probably in mainstream radio we don't. So I think, you know, support your local community radio station, especially Joy 94.9.
That's right.
And, coming up, we're going to talk with you a bit more, Kurt, about your show, your new show on Joy 94.9. But now the time's, where's the hour gone? It's 18 minutes to one. And we're going to hear from a Melbourne girl, Katie Underwood, who I didn't realise had come out as bisexual.
It's all about news, people and sharing common interests. Absolutely everybody on Joy 94.9.
And this is Jody, and I'm with Kurt and Steph, and we're just going to chat with Kurt now about your new show, Transpositions.
Transpositions, yeah. Well, there sort of has been a bit of a need for a trans radio show. Joy used to have Transmission, which was on about 6 years ago, which was a long-running show and it was very popular. And I think it was hosted by a trans lady and mainly based around MTF discussion. So, yeah, I think that I did taste a radio course quite recently and came out of that loving radio and loving being at the Joy office and sort of said, oh, well, you know, I'd be happy to do a trans show. Yep. If there's a need for that, I'm interested in that. So, yeah, we got it together and we had our first show 2 weeks ago. So we've had two shows so far.
Yeah.
And I think it's been successful. I hope others think that as well. We had a few messages come in and some questions being asked, so it's really good to answer those.
Do you think the issues facing trans people are becoming more prevalent now? Are people talking about trans, but more open to this idea of trans people in the community? I don't know. What do you think?
I think people are more open to trans people in the community, just as a few years ago that people were becoming more open to gay and lesbian people in the community. And there is a lot more awareness now and a lot more people seem to be transitioning just because they know that they can do it and it's available. Whereas before, a lot of people weren't transitioning, and now sort of some people say it's a bit of a trend now because everyone's sort of, you know, there's...
Just the latest thing, isn't
the
it?
The latest thing, and, you know, there's no more butch lesbians left in the world because they've all transitioned. And
Do you think it's like, I mean, obviously it's not about a trans man or woman walking down the street going with a sign saying that they're trans. It's, I mean, from my understanding, it's more too for young people who possibly school age even or primary school even who or parents of who may have a child who is potentially trans, that they feel comfortable supporting that child to be who they want to be. Once you get to the adult, I mean, obviously there's that the teenagers are very important, but it's that stage of early intervention so that the child is not left with these scars of having to be someone they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that definitely make sense?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Yeah, I think on a personal note that happened to me a little bit where my parents didn't recognise what was happening and I was left really lost and I just had no path. I didn't know what path to take. Mm. So I had to really pick up the pieces there and it kind of left me behind a few years as I had to start again. So it's really important to have a positive role model. We were talking about this on the show last night, positive role models at that age, that really important age of a young teenager or even just before. Yeah. And it's great that parents nowadays, there was a couple on that show Insight on that ABC a couple of months ago that were just supportive of their child, saying if she wants to be a she, she's a she.
She was just delightful. 7 years old.
Yeah.
And knew exactly who she was.
Exactly, yeah. And her parents were great with that. They would just let her be whoever she wanted to be and she was happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really healthy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's great just to have this radio show there for people to listen to, to introduce people to trans issues and just to let people know that trans people are just people. We have chats on the radio and, you know, we get up to things during the week and, I really want it to be a friendly show for people.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's just we were having a chat actually before, and on the plane back from my recent holiday, they had an episode of Glee on, and I was telling Kurt about it, where they've introduced a character. Oh, I don't know if it's this. I'm not that up with all the latest, as Kurt knows. This character is a trans woman. And the issue is something as basic as toilets. In this particular episode, the militant principal made it very difficult for this woman or this young woman because she insisted that she go to the male toilets where she didn't feel comfortable. And it's one of the discussions I've had with people about why do we have to have men and women toilets only.
It's interesting that you said it's something as simple as toilets, when a lot of the time for trans people, toilets are not a simple issue at
all.
That's
right. Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the main areas where they face discrimination. And looking at the research, I'm not a trans person myself, but the research shows that, for example, students in schools who are trans sometimes, you know, cross their legs and go the whole day without going to the bathroom, or deliberately dehydrate themselves so they can avoid going to the bathroom just because it causes them so much stress. Mm. And that's quite a big deal and something that really needs to be addressed in terms of having pan-gender toilets, or, you know, saying you can go to whichever one you feel most comfortable, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think any female or male designated area, like a locker room or a changing room, can be tough, and can also, like, you know, make you a bit anxious. And
I guess that's, again, just changing those narrow perceptions of what, you know, having, and it's across everything, isn't it? It's like designing buildings. We were talking about it with disability, you know, why do people design it for people who can walk upstairs or whatever? So, there's so much we could talk about today, Kurt, and I'd love to have you on again.
Yeah, I'd love to be back.
To talk more about transposition, maybe in a few weeks when you've settled in and we can have a chat a little bit more about it. I feel like we've cut it short a little bit because there's so much to talk about.
That's all right. We can continue another time.
Yeah. Anyway, the time is 7:07 and we're going to play a special request for Stephanie.
Yeah, Savage Garden. It nearly got cut because of our excellent interview with Stella Young earlier in the show, and I said, we can't cut Savage Garden. Special request. Here we go. It's 7:07 and you're on Joy 94.9.
This is Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by
Anecto. And you're with Jody, Kurt and Steph, and we've had a really great time, and unfortunately we've run out of time.
Oh no!
Oh no! So you guys will be back in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We've had fun today.
I'm kind of into this daytime radio thing. I think I could get used to it.
It's good. So I'm going to look forward to that one. Next week on the show, we discuss digital inclusion and how that's working for older people with our special guest, Sarah from Cota Vic. For more information, check out Absolutely Everybody Radio on Facebook, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Click on the podcast tab via the new Joy website for the best of Joy. Joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.